Well, hello, I'm with Nada Lu. Hi, Nada.
Hi, Sales.
So, you're a long-time focuser, and you're interested in focusing not just as a technique or an approach, but also for its philosophical underpinnings. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'd like to talk about that. I've been a long-time focuser and teacher of focusing and specifically thinking at the edge. And as I taught and discovered how people learn, it became to me obvious that some philosophy, Jenlin's philosophy, needs to be brought into teaching, because people need to understand why focusing works, not only that it's a miracle technique or something, but why focusing and specifically TAE works. So
obviously that's a question that's of a lot of interest to us. So what would you say, why does focusing work?
Well, it works because we reach into an area of knowing that people usually are not aware exist, and this is the felt sense. And the whole area of felt sense, for me, it was a real discovery when I started to actually videotape Jenlin's beginning of presentations on thinking at the edge. It became to me a discovery that felt sense has much broader significance or much broader territory than what we usually attend to in focusing sessions.
Yeah. So just what you're saying is that focusing allows us, through the felt sense, to connect, to reach a way of knowing that we're not necessarily aware of, and that this felt sense has a broader reach, a broader potential than we normally experience, even in focusing itself.
Maybe not so much experience as are aware of.
Are aware of.
We do experience it, but we wouldn't be aware that we are felt sensing area.
Yeah. So it's a question of, in a way, deepening our capacity to be aware of our experience.
Deepening our capacity for awareness of what felt sense is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd like to just point a couple of a couple of things that TAE practice and focusing practice.
So I want to just for maybe those rare people who may not, you know, be immediately aware what TAE is,
yeah.
Thinking at the edge.
Thinking at the edge. And thinking at the edge is second practice, second philosophical practice that comes from Jenlin's philosophy of the implicit. The first practice is focusing, and focusing has been around for many, many years and is known throughout the world. Thinking at the edge started to develop in late 90s, I believe, and I've been attending and videotaping actually every one of these five or six presentations that Jenlin made.
Uh-huh.
I was part of, you know, building up this new practice. Jenlin also presented it in German language, and I recorded those as well and produced actually tapes in German as well. So the TAE practice and philosophy behind it came to me kind of viscerally.
Yeah.
Editing for hours and hours, I just absorbed it totally into my bones.
Yeah.
So to say. And with that experience, I also discovered how the two practices differ.
A few things. One is that there are similarities or differences, but mm-hmm. that what happened is that, the really deep understanding of TAE that you got was from that careful, long observation of paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. So what came up as a result of this observation, is there a few things that, you could share with language that might help people get a sense of what TAE is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is a question from you?
Yeah.
I'd just like to indicate little differences between the two practices before I answer
Good.
Your question.
Okay.
Focusing is used for personal practice,
mm-hmm.
personal deepening of one's knowing. The listener doesn't need to know doesn't need to know the content. And if something shifts, of course it is going to affect other people because the person is changing through some shifts that happen in focusing experience, but they don't actually need to tell anybody anything. So it's really personal. In TAE, TAE thinking at the edge is a generative process. You attend to something that you have an edge of knowing that does not have yet words to
mm-hmm.
express. It's looking for articulation, and it is usually in an area of your either expertise or interest, and it has this edge of it wants to be born, it wants to be created, it wants to develop, but you don't have yet language, because as we know, at the felt sense edge, the things don't sit in your tummy somewhere. They are at this edge that needs to be formed.
Yeah.
So obviously you wouldn't have language for something like that. And obviously you cannot use the language that you use in everyday, like public language in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is important difference between the two practices. One is for personal use, the other one is to put it in the world, to put your, this is the first person science that Janlin is expressing recently in his writing, that each one of us has something that can contribute to the world in positive ways, in constructive ways, if we take the time to develop it.
Yeah. So that it doesn't have to stay in that limbo of, having a sense of having something to say, but simply it feels weird and strange and stupid if you try to express it. But in fact, if it does feel weird and strange and stupid when you try to express it, it might mean that actually you're right in the mode of, being ready to use thinking at the edge to go further.
Exactly. That's exactly. And Janlin says, quite often I like to use this expression in my teaching, that when you go into any kind of creative process, there are two things there. One is that says, who do you think you are, that you know something that others don't know? And this need to desire to build something, because it's really itching to be said.
Yeah.
So, you know, to not to be discouraged by this negative thing that comes in and says, who do you think you are? And it is process. The TAE is a long process of different steps. I'd rather call them movements that bring something out of your felt sense. It's a dialogue between your thinking and your felt sense.
So in a way, when you hear that inner voice that says, who do you think you are, it's very nice to, you know, you're not just trying to ignore it.
No.
But it's a reminder that you're in a process and a dialogue, and if that voice exists, that means there's also the other voice that says, hey, I have something to say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that why Jean is saying that is not to be discouraged by it, because it is a part of creative process, a self-doubt, you know, that, you know, somebody else has more to say. So not to give into it, but to recognize that it might appear as you are going through a creative process.
Yeah.
So the process of thinking at the edge, first part of it is very much involved with the language, how body creates the language for something that does not have verbal expression yet.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, how body creates the language for something that doesn't have verbal expression. Do you want to give maybe a sense of an example or something that helps put a finger on it?
I can think of some examples that I work with people. There is a good one. There was a person who was saying that this is kind of funny one. Friend of mine in New Zealand was always saying she loves the expression it's gorgeous. It's something gorgeous. And she said she went on holidays and it was, they had gorgeous time. And I thought I was going to get my my TAE conversation going with her. And I said, oh, so when you say gorgeous, you mean it was really nicely shaped, like, you know, attractive women sometimes get nicely dressed. And she said, no. So this is one of the steps where we tease out of a person who is in touch with their felt sense. I knew she wasn't thinking that.
Yes.
But you know, when you use gorgeous, that is a public expression of something that is kind of, that could be nicely shaped woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, no, it was more, you know, the whole creation was there, the sky and sea and everything. So I went once more and I said, so you mean creation, like, you know, the 7 days of creation was God created, you know? And she says, well, no, not that either. And then she stopped and she says, my God, I'm skipping the whole experience of my holidays. And I said, yeah, when you go to your friends and you said, I had gorgeous time, really you didn't express what is there in you in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that a good example for you?
It's a beautiful example, As you explain it this way also, how there's this play about language and how it's in a way similar to a handle in focusing, and how things mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. But also what you said earlier is that language and exploring language and what it means is more important, because in this case we're not just talking about internal experience, but sharing it and communicating with people.
That's exactly that. So, you know, in the next step of TAE would be, Jean says, now you turn it around and you say, when I use word gorgeous, I want it to mean. And then she started to say, I want it to mean a holiday that was exceptionally beautiful. And then, you know, the whole bunch of stuff, 10, 20, 15, whatever descriptions of what she meant by gorgeous comes out. And this is where the body speaks, where you speak from felt sense. When you allow that word that was like a handle, you said, like representing something that you wanted to say, did not have in it, and people get confused or you know, they misunderstand you when you use you say gorgeous and you want it to mean something very different, that you didn't come out with this word.
Yeah. So it's really...
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, the way I'm hearing it is, in a way, it's as if you're speaking German to an English-speaking person, and you have a dictionary to actually explain the words as they come in, instead of assuming that this person will have the same meaning you have. And that the dictionary is about, in a way, bringing back the words to some experiences that people can relate to.
Yes, but you see, the words that dictionary has, and we call this public language, you need these words and you use them in everyday life. Like, you know, if you go into store and you want to buy milk, you are going to ask for, let's say, carton of milk.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will understand what this is. But that's what you are experiencing, because it's not formed yet, it cannot possibly have the language yet.
Yeah. So you're going a couple of steps before, beyond, so that you create some area of experience where there is a possibility of connecting, resonating with some experience.
That's right. So when I say that the body makes this language, it's coming out of your felt sense, because when I ask this person, well, what would you like gorgeous to mean? She had to pause and go into her experience of holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening there when she said, you know, the whole creation was there. That also was a public word. So when she went back into that, then she said, you know, the ocean was blue and the sky was shining. You see how that is different than saying the whole creation was around.
Yeah.
So this is what that's the most important first part of TAE.
Yeah. So you know, the part of it is, you know, the whole creation was around is an abstract concept, but the sky was blue, you know, is perception, is senses, is...
It's her experience.
It's the experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is just the first part of TAE. There are another two parts of it that are more, more complex, and I don't think we have time in this conversation to cover all of that. But
do you want to maybe simply allude to them in a way, just without it being in detail?
Yes, the second part is looking for patterns, and these patterns are about felt sensing patterns of different experiences. So you are looking for other experiences, felt sense of different experiences that remind you of the one that you were working on in the first part.
Okay, so that's a pattern that happens, not about the same word, not about the same experience, but staying with that felt sense to find where similar kind of felt sense.
Felt sense experience, and they are very often as varied as you can imagine. There is no common denominator to it. The common denominator is the felt sense reminds you of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you know, one person who was, I'll stay with mine.
Okay.
My experiences were, one was about making videotapes, one was about my grandson being in hospital. One was about writing the Thinking at the Edge manual, the book, So you see, from the outside, they have nothing in common. But the felt sense was about that there is a larger area, I call it a bigger picture, that I connect to when I am in these three experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, it's a felt sensing pattern. So in the second part, we look for that, and then we try to see if we can cross them. So this is where the concept of crossing comes in.
Okay.
And as you can see, I would need to explain to people a little bit what the crossing means.
Yes, in a way, what it is about is, the similarity with focusing, I guess, for focusers, is a sense of getting into that murky space.
Exactly.
Where the traditional distinctions, the traditional logic is not so important, and another sort of logic can happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And talking about logic, this is the third part of TAE, and a lot of people don't get into it and don't need to get in it, because it's about making a theory construction. And once when you get there, you do need your first nine steps material, because you make terms for your logical work out of these first nine steps, and then there is a theory building, and as I said, we don't have the time for it.
Yeah. But maybe it's just simply staying with the word theory. There's something interesting there, because theory is something that intimidates many people as something that is intellectual, that is abstract, and this is part of a process that is actually very experiential, very body oriented. Mm-hmm. So there's something, even simply just mentioning the word theory within this context is something that maybe opens up some possibility of conceiving of theory as something that doesn't have to be abstract and dry.
Exactly, because your theory, it's really fun. That part is really fun, because your theory is constructed out of your experience of first nine steps. So something is alive in it. It's not just a dead term that you are shuffling around.
Yeah.
But it's that felt sensing experience that you choose your terms out of, and the theory is really something that is true. At least it's true because it's true for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And can be then applied into many different areas, not just the area that you are interested in. Let's say somebody is, you know, making theory on how autistic children learn. And such theory, a nucleus of such theory, can be applied in all kinds of other fields, not just in teaching autistic children.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So it's a very, very rich, and I have done a lot of teaching so far. I've been in Chile and in Australia and New Zealand, and just the recent one was in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how that is going to work, because they don't use words like we do, but symbols, and you know, the whole symbol represents maybe half a sentence. So I wasn't sure if how that first part was going to work. But it worked very well. They loved it, and they actually asked me to come back for the second part now. So, and I was in Europe, in Ireland, and in Holland, and here in Toronto and in LA. So I've done a lot of teaching of TAE, and I'm very excited about it.
Yes, yes, it comes across as something that's very exciting to you. Mm. So, and I want to, maybe you said at the beginning that it's something that, you know, your immersion in it came as you were painstakingly editing these videos. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about, you know, the video part. Mm-hmm. You know, you do a lot of those things. So talk a little bit about that part of your involvement with the focusing community.
Well, it happened actually as an interest of mine. I was always interested in photography, and then when I got my first videotape, I started to videotape. Actually, it was Ed and Pete from Bar Spiritual Focusing, and it came as a hobby that developed into a real profession. And as I retired from high school teaching, I developed this videography, and I just love it. And I find that, and I want to I want to emphasize that watching a presenter discussing or giving his thoughts or teaching on videotape is a real additional information that one does not get from the text or from just listening to a person, because you see the facial expressions, you see the person who is delivering it.
So that's very consistent with what we were talking about before, mm-hmm. about the TAE, that if you just stick to the words or the sentences, a part of the experience is missing.
That's right. That's right. And, well, you know, it is definitely an additional channel of perception or absorption of what you are learning.
Uh-huh.
And recently I have put quite a few shorter clips on YouTube and it's accessible through my web page, which is nadalu.com, or through Focusing Institute web page. It's all listed there. And
so we're going to put a link to it on the page of the conversation so people can see that.
Right, please do. And I'm encouraging people who are teaching Focusing to use these clips, because they're chosen kind of carefully to present different aspects. There is on philosophy, there is on TAE, there is on focusing, and I started now to put other teachers, not just Gene, but other teachers' DVDs on as well. So I'd like to encourage people to use them.
Great. Great. So in terms of teaching, actually, you know, there's another project that's close to your heart. It's the summer school.
Yes. It is FIS. And we had now 4 years of Focusing Institute summer school. That's FIS. And it's a very successful event. We started 4 years ago, and the idea about it is for 5 teachers who are very well, we call them expert teachers, but expertism is about teaching, being experienced in teaching larger groups, having international experience as well, and covering a range of topics that people are interested in. So the structure of the FIS is such that we have a morning session for the whole week, that people choose just one topic and stay with the same teacher so they can get into depth of the topic. And in the afternoon, they can choose from different optional presentations, which vary tremendously from arts to focusing with children to hospitalization to immigration to prayer to marketing. It's a wonderful kind of variety of how focusing is actually applied and how people use it.
Yeah. So again, going beyond the sense of focusing is this method of self-knowledge or deeper self-connection that we all are familiar with, but actually experiencing the varieties of ways in which it can be used.
Yeah, exactly. And and FIS is also a fundraiser for the Focusing Institute. We are donating our time, we teachers are donating our time to Focusing Institute, and it does make a big addition to
Good.
The funds that are needed to run the Focusing Institute.
Good. So, Nada, as we're coming to the end, I just want to check if there's something you would want to say to conclude this, or if maybe the this was a good way to end.
Well, I think this is a good way to end. There is so much that can be done with this philosophy, and I'm really happy to be part of this community.
Thanks, Nada.
Thank you, Serge.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.